The Five Leadership Questions podcast is brought to you by Ministry Grid, an online video-based training resource for all the leaders and volunteers at your church. To learn more and to get a two-week free trial, visit ministrygrid.com/howitworks. That's ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Hey, and welcome to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, here with Todd Adkins.
What?
Well done, Todd. And Daniel M.
Hello, hello.
I love it. It's so consistent. So you, if you're a regular listener, you're familiar with these gentlemen. Todd is the director of leadership, so he heads up our team here at Lifeway. Daniel oversees new churches, and the New Churches Q&A podcast is one of his things.
If and you, my thing.
Yes, that's
I'm
right.
I'm on that one, too.
Yeah, but we're talking, you know, Daniel's the host.
I'm on 100% of the time, and you're on 50% of the time.
That's true.
You know, you're helpful.
You're with Ed.
You're useful sometimes.
I'm useful with, half of the time.
Which Ed didn't realize until episode 99 that Todd was also on the podcast.
Was he offended?
About it.
His first question was, have I been on more episodes than Todd?
Probably. We love Ed.
Yes.
If you are... if you work in multi-site church, or you are a church planter, or you are a church that is planting other churches, you should definitely go to newchurches.com and check out their resources. There are video courses and blogs and the podcast and all this stuff. So That's what Daniel does. And you should check out the podcast because it's totally free and they do all sorts of practical, helpful Q&A stuff. So Definitely check that out. But gentlemen, today we are going to be talking about something that there's a real high risk of... extraordinary amounts of nerdery on this podcast. So listeners, that may excite you, you may cringe, but we are going to be talking about the StrengthsFinder evaluation.
Bum, bum, bum.
So we've done an entire podcast on how to use various evaluations and hiring and things like
music?
That.
Yes.
It is now.
Singing is not one of my strengths.
That's right. That's low on the list. But now we're going to look at just StrengthsFinder. Daniel has gone through training to actually be an implementer of this?
StrengthsFinder coach.
He's like Gallup certified.
Okay.
Yeah, he's legit.
Todd is well practiced in using this in the interview process, but not at the super nerd level. And then I'm just curious and have enjoyed taking it and learning about it and things like that. So I'm going to feed you guys questions and not do as much answering because you guys know more about how all this works than I do. That's the way that I think this will go today. Cool?
Yes, sir.
Done.
All right. First question. In brief, keyword
how
being
many people
brief.
Call you sir? He just gave you a yes, sir.
Well, he's Canadian. That means he's polite. My kids don't even call me sir. In brief, keyword being brief, what is StrengthsFinder? And think specifically what differentiates it from other evaluations like Myers-Briggs or DISC or Enneagram or whatever else.
All right. So with StrengthsFinder, Don Clifton at Gallup, Marcus Buckingham, there are a bunch of other guys that kind of worked on this together and came up with the research on this. But it really sums down to three things. They were trying to figure out, you know, what makes people, you know, they were interviewing the best of the best waiters, the best of the best lawyers, the best of the best doctors, the best of the best of everyone, and trying to figure
podcasters.
Out. Yeah, the best of this podcast. They'd be interviewing you guys.
It was before we started this. I mean, that's really the only reason, I'm sure.
Yeah, and they were trying to figure out what causes them to excel and stand out amidst everyone else. And they really it really came down to three things. The first thing was that the best of the best focused on what they were great at.
Mm-hmm.
The number two thing was that if they were weak at something or not good at something, they found a way to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
Not a way to focus all their attention on it, but really manage is a key word. And then the third thing that they did was if the individual couldn't focus on developing their strengths at work, they would find another venue to do that. So, you know, whether it be in a church setting or in a volunteer setting or whatnot,
right.
To be able to really focus in and develop those strengths.
So the key philosophy there being, if I'm hearing you correctly, as there are management strategies that focus on what people are bad at and spend an enormous amount of time and energy and resources mm-hmm. trying to repair that. And this kind of reverses and says you spend the necessary amount to manage it,
yeah.
but you really put people in a position to to focus on their strengths and yeah. what they're best
and,
at.
And the theory behind that is it's this equation. Talent multiplied by investment equals strength. So think about, you know, Wayne Gretzky.
Never was much of a math guy. Yeah. Hold on. Give me a minute. This is a word problem.
All right. So think Wayne Gretzky in the hockey world or you know, mm-hmm. Michael Jordan in basketball. You know, let's say on a scale of 1 to 10, where would we put them at the for talent? You know, obviously 10, right? For both of those guys, they're, yeah. you know, they're kind of enduring athlete, you know, great athletes. So if they're at the 10, and then you look into the story of how Gretzky was, his dad would blindfold him and teach him how to stick handle the puck, and Jordan, you
I hadn't heard that. I need to go read up on Gretzky. That's fascinating.
That yeah. is fascinating. And then, because he had to feel it, because mm-hmm. when you play hockey, you can't look at the puck. You gotta look at the where you're going to go next and all that. So, you know, basketball, you know, Jordan as well. And even you look at Tiger Woods, you know, the yep. Tiger Woods of yesteryear and how he kind of grew up and was developed and trained, you know, so they have a, let's say you out of scale 1 to 10, you give them a 10 on talent. And then you look at investment and just the hours of investment that they put in compared right. to a lot of other people, you know, we'd put them at 9 or 10 in right. investment as well, which would be
maybe semi-psychotic in yeah. terms of their investment. But
for
yeah.
sure.
Well,
so the whole idea, yeah. The whole idea was that you can adjust how much investment you put in something,
right?
But you can't necessarily adjust the amount of talent, the raw talent that yep. you have. So the idea is start with talent, the areas that you're 8, 9, and 10 in, mm-hmm. and then pour in investment, which is skill and knowledge, and you know, be developed in yep. that area, and that's what's going to produce a strength.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, there's the saying, "Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard." But when talent
only
works
to a point.
Hard, yeah, when yeah. talent works hard, 10,000 hours, sorry, yeah. you know.
When talent works hard, you get the experts and the best of yeah. the best.
Because it's like, don't you remember in school, I was never one of these people, but I hated the people who never really studied at certain subjects.
Ding, 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 ding,
yeah.
ding.
You guys were those people or you hated yes. those people?
No, we were those people.
No, yeah, I was up through high school.
I don't know.
Up through high school. When I got,
haven't asked him, but I'm okay. assuming we have the same personality type. So
when I got, it wasn't until I got to college that I really, like, I realized, oh, studying is a thing people have to do.
Okay. See, so
and
I didn't,
it,
I
really
didn't like guys
back
like you
to,
guys.
It really came back to bite me.
Here's the problem, though. I have I think trained myself to have a really good short-term memory to be able to test well.
Cram on a test. Yeah.
And, like, you know, it's not there. It didn't stay.
Yeah.
The Greek and Hebrew I had is not in my head.
Yeah.
It should be. And
but
it comes
you got
back
lots
quickly,
of A's.
But I did all right in yeah. school. You know what I'm saying?
All right. So, well, first, before we move to our next question, so you talked about sort of the 8, 9, 10, and I realize that's not an official number, but mm-hmm. does everybody have talents? Like, is this a, and I'm not, this is not like a spiritual question or like everybody's a special snowflake kind of thing, but like, is everybody an 8, 9, or 10
oh,
in something?
Dude, I love it. Special snowflake. Every snowflake is unique.
Yeah, but they all look the same when they fall on the ground. Yeah. Take that how you
they
will.
They all melt.
Yes, and then the dog makes them yellow. Anyway, is everybody an 8, 9, or 10 in something? Or is it just you're picking the strengths that stand out for you and you might be an exceptionally average person?
Okay, so here's a great analogy. Think of if you think to the town you lived in or you uh-huh. grew up in and you think to an interstate that's been developed, you know, from there. So 100 years ago, the interstate wasn't there. Right. But there was probably a dirt road and people mm-hmm. began walking on that dirt road. And, you know, they began, getting on a horse and going along that same dirt road. And then they're like, oh, OK, now cars came and they're like, oh, so many people are going on this road and traveling on it. Let's make it wider. You know, let's pave it. Oh, let's add a couple more lanes. And so many people would keep on going out there. Like, oh, let's make it into a major street or let's make it into interstate, right? And basically that's kind of what happens in our brains, you know, developmentally where we have these synapses mm-hmm. in our brains where it's basically, hey, the more we think, the more we do, the more our minds, you kind of those connections get built. The more they get built over time,
right.
the easier it's, the more it's going to turn from like a dirt road to an interstate, right? And that's kind of the thing where we all have have these inner states in our brain. Mm-hmm. We all have these things that we do really well, really naturally, better than most other people.
Given
and that's
the whole,
kind of the 8, 9, 10.
Given the whole synapses in the brain, dirt road equation, it's really fitting that a lot of bro country is about dirt roads.
I know. I'll take the dirt road.
You're like, all right, well, that makes total sense. Not a lot of interstates going on in those brains. Anyway, next question. Let's move on before I insult Florida Georgia Line by name.
But it does make sense from the standpoint of, you know, when you're a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we think and eat and breathe leadership all day long, and my wife hates that everything is a leadership analogy.
Right.
Like, you just – how did unloading the dishwasher suddenly become a great analogy in leadership?
Right.
Not really sure. Go ahead.
All right, next question is, and this is hearkening back to the podcast that we did a while back on using evaluations for hiring, but just bringing this to a practical level for business leaders and organizational leaders, how do you use something like StrengthsFinder, particularly for putting together and leading a team? So what is the methodology, real quickly, kind of the quick and dirty use of this for building a team?
Well, I would say, you know, you need to understand your current team. I always hire the person, not the position. So I am looking for a person to add to my team that will complement, you know, the strengths that we already have on the team, personalities that we already have on the team, that kind of a thing, talent that we have on the team, because we want to have some overlap and expansion of that. So I'm looking at, I already know at least the top couple of themes, StrengthsFinder themes in all of our people. And so it's going to be, okay, how do they fit? So when I hired Barnabas as an example, I was like, holy cow, I'm going to get killed if I don't have another person that is similar to me on the team. And because I have
because you're an idea guy with a bunch of executors.
Yes, and I was about to be executed if I didn't do something.
Yeah, there's a fine line between an executor and an executioner.
And then the next hire was Daniel, and he's really somewhere in between.
Yeah.
So especially both of you guys, life stage wise, are 10 years behind me, so I can see some of myself in both of you.
We get to be you when we grow up?
No.
Oh, no.
Hopefully.
I quit.
Yeah. If I do my job, then you're going to be way better than me. And the next
we're joking.
Year. Maybe not.
Let's hug.
That's all right.
Aw.
Okay. You know, all right. So I agree with you there, Todd. Okay. Here's the thing, though. StrengthsFinder, you know, in our next question, I'm going to address a kind of common misunderstanding. But there's another common misunderstanding when building or putting together a team. That you're going to use the strength. A lot of people use strengths in order to determine who to hire,
mm-hmm.
whereas it's more a matter of using it to figure out how someone fits
yes.
or would potentially fit in a team rather than are they going to be good at this job?
Right.
Exactly. Right. Because someone can be really good at a job with a completely different set of themes, StrengthsFinder yeah. themes than the next person. And they could be both doing it equally as well, but it's how they approach the work and how they fit in the team
yeah.
that the strengths is really a good tool to be utilized.
So, the second part of that question was not just putting together a team, but also in leading a team. And that sounds like what you're addressing. We're talking about kind of managing and strengthening team dynamics and putting people in a position to play well with each other, sort of filling all the positions on a team, if you will. You need people with varying skill sets who complement one another well, who are not just going to clash endlessly. Todd needed somebody who could complement one part of your skill set because you were kind of heavy in another set of strengths on the team, those kinds of things. Is that sort of a way to use it?
Yeah. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, because the second thing that the best of the best did was that they managed their weaknesses, right? And there are really two ways that you can manage your weaknesses. Mm-hmm. The first way is you look at the task that needs to be done in a different frame
yeah.
or in a different point of view or utilizing a different theme in order to get it done. And then the other way to do that is through complementary partnerships, right? So you say, hey, I'm not really good at this, but you are.
Right.
Can you help me with that, and I'm going to help you in another thing like that. And the more the team, and that's why every team I've led, we've really made this a part of our language, a part of all our we all had each other's themes in front of us, because it was like, hey, you're not just responsible for what you do now, but how can you contribute to the success of everyone,
right,
which is complementing each other's weaknesses.
Todd, let's talk a little bit about our sponsor for the Five Leadership Questions podcast.
Let's do.
Our sponsor is Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, SEBTS. We have partnered with them as Lifeway on a lot of different things, from publication to events. We have a number of their graduates who work here. You are considering doing doctoral work there yourself.
Yes, I am.
So, Todd, tell me a little bit about what are some of the key things that stand out to you about Southeastern as a leadership development and training institution?
Okay, so I would say the first thing is their balance of theology and practical ministry is on point.
Yes.
I would say they are very passionate about their Great Commission, and it's not just a passion, it's something that they live out, and it's something that they structure themselves to be able to give people tracks to run on and actually accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greatest ways to see that is actually go on Twitter and search for the hashtag I am going, and you'll see hundreds of pictures of people that are going.
Yes.
And where they're going to fulfill the Great Commission.
Yeah, Great Commission and going are big points of emphasis for Southeastern. That is what they seek to do, is equip pastors, theologians, scholars, missionaries, people who are serving as lay leaders in their church. You can do that via distance education, or you can go to their beautiful campus in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Either one is an option. They offer multiple degree programs. All of their MDiv and master's programs are between 80 and 85 credit hours. So that's a condensed program from the traditional. That means you can get it done sooner, or you can do it alongside a job if you're already in ministry, things like that. To learn more, go to sebts.edu/5LQ. That's SEBTS, stands for Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, sebts.edu/5LQ. And if you're considering applying, be sure to use the code 5LQ, not hard to remember, 5LQ, to get a discount on your application. So that could be for master's. They also have an undergrad program on campus there. So 5LQ is a discount that will get is a code to get you a discount on your application. We appreciate Southeastern's support. Now back to the podcast. We're going to go through our strengths finders and just what are your top strengths? That's our third question. So you guys can go first. Just rattle off the way that if you haven't taken it, listeners, you go through it. They give you the evaluation. They give you your top five along with a kind of a breakdown of a one sentence breakdown of what it is, what it looks like, and then how it fits in different characteristics of leadership or work. So I have mine are coming out of strengths-based leadership, which was Daniel's suggestion. So I took this maybe a year or two ago, but just the strengths finder itself. So this is going to be focused more on management leadership. Others are going to focus more on work style, things like that. So who wants to go first?
Well, let me just clarify something.
Yes.
Okay. So the equation was talent multiplies by investment is strength, right? This is strengths finder is a really cool label for the assessment, but it's actually a misnomer because it's not 30. So there are 34 themes in the StrengthsFinder assessment. There are not 34 strengths. They're themes. So themes are just categories. So when you look at the equation talent multiplied by investment equals strength, the strength is the ability to kind of do something at a near perfect performance.
Yeah.
How do you find what those talents are? Well, these aren't 34 strengths, and they're not 34 talents. They're 34 themes.
Sort of 34 areas in which to look.
Yeah. So when you take the assessment, every sentence in your theme description, like in command or in strategic or whatnot, every sentence is a talent.
Mm-hmm.
So the equation is with the category. So as we share our top five themes, every sentence is a talent. You take that talent, multiply it by investment, and that's what a strength is. So just want to clarify that.
Nope, that's helpful.
Yeah.
Which of you guys wants to go first with your top five?
I'll go.
Ready to go.
Strategic, maximizer, ideation, and then sometimes it's relator or activator, and then command.
So what's a one sentence description, at least of your understanding of what each of those is? You can read it off there, but just what in terms of those themes, what are those things?
Well, strategic is,
because it sounds a little bit just like
explanatory.
It sounds a little bit like business speak ease if somebody's not familiar with the full breakdown.
Strategic, self-explanatory. Maximizer is basically being able to, I'm so scared right now that Daniel's going to correct me.
But I'll do it in a nice way.
You will.
Where you won't feel like I'm correcting you.
That's right. Yeah. Is that one of your strengths?
He's just Canadian.
You really want that to stick. I don't think it's going to stick.
What?
Canadian.
Canadian? Why not?
I'm not offended by it. I'm just telling you, it's not going to stick.
Okay. It's not going to stick because white people don't feel comfortable using it. That's why.
But we feel comfortable with each other.
That's true.
Right. He's just buying time. Okay, what is Maximizer?
Maximizer. Maximizer is basically Deflect. Being able to come in and look at something and tweak it and make it hum is how it's lived itself out in my life. So I want to look at a system or a process and say, well, you know, if you did this here and this here, it would work. That's how ideation comes in. So if you look at strategic maximizer ideation as an example, how those start to blend together, ideation is taking ideas from anywhere and everywhere, combining ideas, and, you know, just producing a lot of ideas. But it's taking how I've seen that is taking things that are I can see how something can be applied in another field,
right?
Probably a lot easier than most. And it sounds like I'm crazy half the time, and sometimes
yes.
I am. But that's how those three strengths kind of come together. And then activator is just I want it. Let's start now. We'll figure out.
Putting ideas into action.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's stop talking and start doing.
Let's start doing it, and we'll figure it out a little bit more as we go along. But let's go. And then command is kind of what it sounds like too. It's having a strong.
It's like taking charge and making decisions, right?
Yes.
More or less, you sort of own you. You if a room is sort of muddling along, not getting things done, you sort of walk in and go, "All right, let's move this thing along."
Yeah.
Daniel, go ahead.
All right. So mine are maximizer, learner, intellection, developer, and strategic. So I'll explain mine with an analogy. What's interesting here is we all share strategic.
Uh-huh.
You guys share some. I share some with either of you, but we all kind of share that strategic. The interesting thing, though, is every theme influences the other.
Right.
Right. So what it looks like in an individual, you know, they're all nuanced a bit differently. So as I was kind of going through my training and growing in my understanding of strengths, one of the exercises we did was try to come up with an analogy of how all five work together.
Right.
So I came up with a car. Right, so I'm a car, and I'll explain my five themes through this analogy of a car.
You have a preferred make and model?
That's what I'm wondering.
Well, I like Volkswagens, but that's, you know.
All right.
Anyways.
Quality vehicles.
Yeah, so, well, sometimes.
Except when they're getting sued for cutting corners safety-wise, but right. Anyway.
So just to, you know, just think of a generic car. So.
There you go.
All right, so the headlights on the car are my maximizer theme because my maximizer theme helps me focus on the good things and I try to make them great rather than focusing on what's broken and trying to fix them, right? So that's a little bit more of the restorative end. So I'm more on the maximizer end in terms of what I like to focus on and go towards. The driver is intellection, and intellection basically just means that I'm always thinking through concepts. I'm always kind of wrestling through and kind of trying to figure out how things work together. But it's this idea of the driver is always thinking and processing. The GPS unit on my car is my strategic theme because the strategic theme is going to help me figure out what's the best route to get from point A to point B. There may be five different ways to get there, but what's the best way to filter through that? The gas tank on the car is my developer theme, or actually it's my learner theme, because I've actually realized if I'm not learning, I'm not going to move. I'm not growing. I'm not going forward. I'm not getting things done.
It feeds the
others. Yeah. And it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be learning on the very, on my job, in job related, but just learning in general.
Yeah.
So I love to learn a lot of different things and develop in that way. And the entire car together is my developer theme.
Yeah.
Because I've realized that as long as I am being developed or developing others, developing systems, developing areas, that's what gets my car going.
Right. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Mine are very similar to Todd's. I have ideation, strategic, activator, command, and then relator. And I took this a couple times several years apart, and the ones that dropped off were collector and competitor. If I had still had competitor on this, basically that would just make me the biggest tool in the world because I have lots of ideas and I make people do them and they're better than everybody else's. So I'm glad competitor dropped off and relator came, rose to the top five. And then, collector is similar to learner in that it's the idea of sort of, You put together a library of resources, essentially, just sort of what I mean. And they said these kinds of people, I mean, can do anything from like collect baseball cards to they love trivia. Just these things are just sort of collecting knowledge. And then that, again, feeds into these other things. But
I think you're referring to input. Right. Collector's not a.
It might be input, but they called them collectors. That's
okay,
what it was.
Yeah.
So collector was like input, the first descriptive
term. They love
to term.
Collect
yeah.
things.
Yeah, that's what
cards.
It was.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a few years since I looked at that one. It was interesting to me that fell off over the course of time, which is another interesting thing about this because it does change based on current role, current things you're emphasizing, stage in life, these different things, as people just develop and change.
Don't you pretty much always have the same top 10 though, Daniel? Just kinda...
Yeah. Well, because when you look at adolescent development or developmental psychology for girls, it's earlier than boys, right? But for guys in general.
So I took it just out of college, which means I was still basically a child.
Yeah. Yeah. Because for guys, it's still that early 20s, mid 20s where it's still, we're still forming,
right.
being developed. For ladies, it's usually 16, under 20, where they're a bit more, who they are.
The frontal lobe has been fully developed.
Right. So in light of all that, you take it one year to the next. The assessment is so robust that two out of five, three out of your top five are probably going to stay the same.
Right.
The ones that change are still going to be in your top 10.
Right.
But it's just, you're right. Life situation, what you're working on, that kind of affects the rest of it.
The main reason I wanted to walk through those is not so we could just talk about ourselves, but just to give a sense of, we do that
on the back.
No, really.
But just to give a sense of what it can look like when you look at the top five, how they fit together. Daniel's car analogy is helpful. Todd talking about how these things sort of come together in different contexts. So, what did you say? There's 30, is it 32?
34.
34 total themes. And so we only covered about seven of them total because of the overlap. So if you're a listener who has taken this, you may have a top five that is utterly different than ours. And so that'd be really interesting to me to hear about just because it would be so unfamiliar.
What's fascinating though is, and I don't want to get too nerdy here, so I won't go into the numbers, but I mean, it's in like the 30 something million, there's like 30 something million different sets of possible themes. Right. So then you kind of do some analysis on for you to share one theme with someone else, if there's 30 something million combinations, and then for you to share two to three.
What about me and him?
Yeah. I mean, that's like.
We overlap four, right?
Yeah.
The possibility of that
and
happening
we're both
is.
ENTPs.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's.
But then again, if I took it again in another year, maybe we would only overlap two or three. Who knows? Because that might have rotated through the top 10 a little bit.
Yeah.
All right. Next
I don't
question.
Have a problem with it, Barnabas.
I'm a little bit scared by it. I still, and the thought of growing up to be Todd is still something I'm wrestling with.
What do you
with.
Want to be when you grow up?
Todd Atkins.
Todd Atkins.
I'm going to dress as Todd next Halloween. All right. Number four. So this is sort of a personal focus question. How can people use StrengthsFinder for personal or professional growth? So they take this, they see their top themes. What are ways that they can use that information, this new discovery about themselves to grow as a leader or as a worker?
Well, I would say hopefully you're taking it as a team or as a group and somebody's been brought in like a Daniel to, help guide and walk you through the process. If you're taking it by yourself, then the first thing that you need to do is, again, ask for feedback. So you want to sit down with somebody and say, hey, how do you see these things lived out, with me? Again, we would also say, hey, look at StrengthsFinder, but also look at your personality profile. Also look at something like an emotional intelligence piece. Two or three things that, really help you get a good understanding of who you are. And, you know, the most dangerous place to be is when you're manufacturing parts of strength or personality that aren't really for you.
Yeah.
Because you can be in a position where you're doing perfectly fine in that position. You may even be good in that position. But you're manufacturing a lot of what is making you good, and you're going home tired and unenergized by your work.
It seems to me that one of the things that I've seen people do in a faulty way with things like StrengthsFinder or other assessments is that they define themselves by it. Goodness. You know, I'm an ENTP. That doesn't work for me. Well, that has no bearing on real life whatsoever.
No.
And so, I mean, taking your strengths theme, I mean, if I was to do this, and so John Emery, who's the director of marketing for our division, one of the guys I work under, if he was to say, hey, I really need you to work on this, I need you to dig in on this task. And I was like, sorry, I'm really more of a strategic thinker, not so much
Strategic is my number one. So
yeah. So, I mean, I don't think that's a great fit for me.
I need to tell you what to do.
No, I've actually had someone tell me that
command is in my top five, John. So why don't you do what I say? You
know, like that would be one was strategic. Oh, but my number one is strategic. So.
Yeah, my number one is I'm your boss. So.
That's right. Yeah. My number one says you're fired.
Actually in a different division, luckily. Yeah. This is a church setting, not a business setting.
What's interesting is you're right. You guys have brought up the fact that we often might bias or judge someone based on the shadow side of a theme. Rather than the actual, rather than the theme.
Talk to us about shadow sides.
Yeah, so the thing is, every theme, every one of these 34 themes are not, they're character neutral.
Yeah.
Right? So if you look at Billy Graham and Hitler, right, they both probably had the theme communication. Right, the ability to conceptualize, communicate ideas in a compelling way. So but the way that Billy Graham and Hitler both used the communication theme are completely different, right? Because it's character neutral. So in light of all that, your themes are really, they're neutral. You can't use them as an excuse to get out of work, right? Because your themes are really how you approach your work.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So when I was a student pastor, one of the most eye-opening things that I ever done was look at my bottom five, because I'd gotten all my 34 through being certified in this. And I actually had to think through how someone with my bottom five would do my job.
Right.
And when I did that, I actually, as I began thinking through and writing out how that person would approach my work, I'd be like, actually, this guy would probably be better at the job than I am, which is why I'm not a student pastor today, right? But I mean, it's...
I can see how that would be a really helpful exercise. Also, just in thinking about the things that you have to do on a weekly basis that are a total grind for you.
Yeah.
You're bad at them. They're a struggle, whatever. To think through, if you could go look at your bottom five and you go, that's a person who would crush this thing that I struggle with. And just... It's an eye opener to, I think, probably to valuing other people and how they do work, but also in realizing some things you could do differently.
Yeah.
Let's hit our last question because I think it flows kind of seamlessly into it. And that is, what do these strengths or discovering your strengths tell you about the kind of job or career to look for or how you fit in an organization or on a team? So kind of a self-diagnostic there. What do they tell you about looking for work or fitting on a team or those kinds of things?
Yeah, I mean, I'd recommend three steps that everyone take. If you have not taken the StrengthsFinder or if you have, to really take some time and do these three steps. The first step is to read through your theme, highlight every sentence that describes you.
Mm-hmm.
And in any one of the books, because there's a ton of StrengthsFinder related books that all have a different application towards it, there's going to be action items, career thoughts, and all that. So if you're kind of in high school, college, or thinking about changing your career, there's a book called Strengths Quest. So that book specifically goes into, hey, what are career options for you? Strengths-based leadership is a really good one if you're in a leadership position to know how to grow in that area. StrengthsFinder 2.0 is kind of the mass market, very generic. Living Your Strengths is the Christian one, where it talks a little bit about spiritual gifts. But in light of all that, really take some time and figure out, okay, what are your top five? Right. Understand your top five. Because I think the tendency for some are to figure out what all the other 29 are, you know, in addition to your top five, right? So don't worry about that. Just think, how are my top five, my top five, how do I see it in my life and my work, my everything? And then that's when you can kind of go to the next steps and figuring out, okay, how do they connect with one another? What are the other 29? How much do I see them in my life? But
that makes sense.
To just spend some time and to figure out how each of those five come out in your life.
Right.
It's going to be huge to know what job to look for or how you fit in a team, because you're going to understand yourself better.
Yeah, I would say, you know, life's too short to, especially if you're already in a good position, don't go to another organization for money. Go to it, you know, looking for, hey, what's the potential for me to grow in there? But what is the potential for me to go and do the most damage possible?
Yeah.
Meaning alignment with your strengths and the position. If you can't figure out how that's going to work, then don't put yourself in that position, because again, you will lack the what you may be able to go in and manufacture the energy and enthusiasm for the work and the way it's carried out in the short term, but over the long term it's gonna kill you.
The two ways that I have seen this be really helpful for me is is what Daniel said right at the beginning of the podcast when he talked about how the information was gathered in the survey. And one of the characteristics of excellent people was if they can't exercise or play to one of their strengths in their work, they find another way to do it.
Yep.
That's something that's been very beneficial for me, because I don't think there's a job in the world where most people can do everything they're good at or everything they love.
Completely.
And so that's why people are involved in different organizations or have multiple passions and hobbies and things like that. So the freedom to recognize that and to be able to kind of fully invest in multiple things, but then also learning more and more about how to work well with people who have completely different strengths. And in a complementary way, realizing that the division of labor can be a very natural thing, where people can then play to their strengths and processes and tasks in who takes the lead on coming up with new ideas and then who takes the lead on implementing them and all of those things. So it's been more of it's like a really good game plan in football or basketball that puts people in a position to succeed. I think for me, that's been beneficial. And so in terms of looking for a job, finding a place that understands those things, and if that's part of the interview process, that's encouraging to me right up front, because it means, there's some serious focus and thought being put into people being positioned to succeed. So those are just two areas that have been beneficial to me in all of this. I'm sure we could go on a lot further, because there are 34 strengths and there's multiple books that Daniel listed. Speaking of books, we will put all of those in the show notes. So lifeway.com/leadership, you can find all those listed in the show notes. So if that was something you wanted to order or go through as a staff, you can order it through those links there. We really appreciate you listening. We hope it's been beneficial. I know this is a little bit different than some of the things we talked about previously, but we wanted to do something a little bit more of a deep dive on a thing that we find very helpful. So hopefully this is useful to you, your team, both personally and then organizationally. Really appreciate you listening, and tune in next time.
Thank you for listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Remember, you can get a free 2-week trial of Ministry Grid at ministrygrid.com/howitworks. Try it out and see how it can help you develop leaders at your church.